Well, I'm thankful this evening that we matter to the Master. Isn't that a comfort? It's a comfort to know that the Lord has called each one of us by name. He knows my name. You look out in the world and all the people that are in the world that have gone before us, that are alive today, God knows who we are. And He cares. And I'm so thankful that He cares so much that He gave His only begotten Son that we could be saved because we didn't have it within ourselves to be saved. And I'm thankful for that. I feel a great debt to the Lord this evening for all that He's done for me personally. And I want to be faithful to Him. I don't want to be found not faithful. And my burden tonight is that I want to be awake. I want to be awake to the importance of being faithful to my Lord all the time. I had opportunity this afternoon, found some quiet time and found this little cemetery down the road a ways. And I was struck by the amount, by the number of tombstones of young people. I pulled up and looked out my front window, and right there was somebody that had passed away that was exactly my age. That caught my attention. I walked around and looked, and there's a 5-year-old, a 1-year-old, 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, this 20-year-old, there was a 30-year-old. They all had lives. No doubt many of them thought that they had much time out ahead of them. Maybe most of them didn't realize they were going to meet the Lord in a short period of time. And you think about all of that and it begins to impress upon you that life is uncertain. We don't have any guarantees of how long we're going to be here in this life. And eternity is a long time. See? We're just here a short period of time that we don't have. It's not in our hands to decide when it's my time. But it is in my hands to make sure that I be faithful to the Lord. Every day that He gives me, I want to be faithful to the Lord tonight. And I want to be awake to that. Because I feel like there are many in the world tonight, perhaps there are some here tonight, that are here because it's revival meeting and it's the place that maybe we're supposed to be. And so we show up, do our duty. I'm not trying to be critical. I've been in that place before. You show up to service because service time. But I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be more than just here. I want to live my life so that when He calls my name, I'll be ready to meet Him. Because the multitudes tonight aren't. And I don't want to be in that number. I'd like to read a parable that I was inspired with just the other night. We were having family worship and I was inspired with a little message for this meeting. The 18th chapter of Luke said, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end." This is 18 and 1. "That men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. I'm sure thankful for that. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? This parable was prefaced with the words before the parable ever started. It said that He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. It said ought. Did you know that the word ought doesn't mean that men always pray and don't faint? That's not what it means. The word ought means that men should pray always and not faint. That's how He started the parable. Sometimes I think we can blow right by those first few words so that we can get into the parable. But the Lord said something before He ever started the parable. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why did He say always? Always is a lot of time. That's 24/7, isn't it? Men ought. Men should always pray and not faint. It's speaking to a way of life. We ought to live our lives always. We ought to. Always having a spirit of prayer and not giving up. Not fainting. Not being distracted with what we're doing and kind of let down a little bit. Get tired with what we're doing. Lose hope. Lose courage. Give in to a feeling of weakness. He started off and said men ought not to do that. And I want to get a hold of why. Why that is. That's how He started the parable. So there's something in the parable, see, that's probably going to start to tell us why men ought always to pray and not faint. And so He began to tell us about a judge that was in a certain city. And He said, there was a judge that feared not God. Well, right off the bat, that doesn't sound like a very good judge, does it? That's not the judge that I want to be having to deal with. And then it goes right on to say, and He doesn't regard man either. I don't know how the judge got into the judgeship in the first place. Why would you want a judge that doesn't fear God and doesn't regard man? What good is He going to do for you? He was not moved by the need of men. That's the point that the Lord was wanting to get across to us. He didn't fear God, even though He was the created. He didn't fear the one that created Him. And man, well, He didn't regard them. That didn't move Him. Well, it didn't sound very hopeful for anybody that was going to come to Him, did it? But it said that there was a woman that came to Him and said, I need some help. Well, allow me just to have a little liberty on this story, if you will. Because it didn't put all the details in, but so this could have happened. I don't think it does injustice to the story. This woman needed help for some reason. Somebody did something to her that she didn't like, and that she felt that she needed somebody to avenge this injustice. So she came to a judge who was an unjust judge. She might have felt hopeless before she ever started. So she came to the judge and she asked the judge. And he said, no, I'm not interested in that. He wasn't moved by her. The only problem with that was, for him, the next morning he showed up and there she was on his doorstep again. So what's this lady doing here again? I told her yesterday I wasn't interested. She said, avenge me. He said, I'm not interested. No, go away. Not interested. So she went away. Only thing was, the next morning, there she was on his doorstep again. Pretty soon, maybe he's dreaming about this woman that just won't go away. Always there. My margin says, well, at the top. Does your Bible have a little caption at the top? Mine says the impertinent widow. Now, I've written in here, you know what that means? Overly urgent or persistent in soliciting. Annoying. This woman was, she was going to be there whether he wanted her to be there or not. And so the story goes that he avenged her, not because he cared about her, but because he didn't want to be bothered by her. So, he avenged her. This was the Lord telling this story. This, my Bible has this in red letters. This was Jesus telling this parable for a reason. He wanted us to get the point that he was trying to make, and so he's taking us through a sequence of events. So follow those sequence of events. The first thing he said is, you ought to pray and not faint. He started with that. And then he made a real point to tell us, here's a judge that doesn't regard man and he doesn't believe in God. He's a bad man. And the only reason he helped this woman was because she wouldn't go away. Because she kept showing up. But then he wanted to tell us some good news. He said then, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Thank the Lord for that. Because every one of us tonight can do this and be avenged speedily. See? Because the plan of salvation that God brought to us was with love and with care. So He's a different kind of judge. God doesn't have to regard God because He is God. And He cares about man. So much so that He gave His life when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's one of those things we don't understand completely yet. That's one of those things that we look through the glass darkly right now. There's going to come a time, Lord willing, when we are going to understand better the love of God. Where He was willing to leave His place in heaven and come down and give His life and die on the cross, that we sinners might be saved when we didn't have what it took to be saved. Oh, what love God has shown us. He gave us everything we needed to be saved. Every single one of us. He said, He would that no man would be lost, but that everyone would come to repentance. Heaven is a large enough place that can accept every single one. God does not grade on the curve. He doesn't automatically say, oh, there's just going to be a certain number of people. I'm glad there's going to be more than the 144,000. Because I want to be part of that number. And He will take every single person in, whosoever will. And He paid a great price for it. And He has a vested interest in your salvation. He doesn't want you to be lost. Sometimes I fear that we get the idea that the Lord is up there, you know, with His sword raised, just waiting for us to err so He can whack us off and say, you're not in. Almost like you're going to have to pass through the most difficult obstacle course. You're going to have to demonstrate the utmost righteousness in your own selves or you aren't in. That is not the God we serve tonight. We serve a God who paid the price for us. We serve a God who wants you to be saved. We serve a God who comes and deals with us faithfully and diligently with care and with love. And the Lord wanted us to get a hold of that in this parable. But then He said something. And I think this was one of the main points of His whole parable. He ended with a startling question. Nevertheless, even though I've done everything possible for your salvation, even though I love you with a great love that no one else can show, even though I paid the price, even though I don't want anyone to be lost, nevertheless, will I find faith when I return? That captures my attention. Does it yours? Will He find a people that pray and faint not? Will He find a people that cry day and night? Will He find a people that recognize their need of a higher power than what they are themselves? This woman that we just read about, she did all of these things for a temporal thing. She was coming to this man and praying, if you will, to him, help me, please. She fainted not. She was crying day and night, if you will, to him. She, in her spirit, her whole purpose was, I want to get the answer that I need. She recognized she couldn't do it in of herself. She needed somebody that had more authority than she did. Don't we do that sometimes for temporal things too? Don't we? You know, we can get pretty consumed sometimes when we have a temporal need, don't we? We can get pretty consumed with praying quite a bit. We can get pretty consumed with recognizing that we need some help that has a power that's greater than what I have. We can get pretty soon consumed with crying day and night about it because it moves us for temporal things. Things that are going to pass away. But what about spiritual things? What about the need of our soul? It gets kind of close, doesn't it? Can it be said of us tonight, what it said here, that we pray and faint not? Can it be said of us that we cry day and night, Lord, Lord, I want to be Your disciple. Lord, I want to be all in. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, would Your blood cover me? Lord, what would You have me to do? Do we live that way every day? Do we recognize the fullness of the truth that without God we are lost and of all men most miserable? Do we recognize that? And the Lord said, when I come back, will I find a people that has faith? Will I find faith when I come back? Will I find a people that believe into me to the point that they do these things, that they pray and they faint not and they cry and they recognize their need of me? Will I find a people that erect safeguards in their life from the things of the world that would defile? Will I find a people that have a faith and a belief to the point that they say, no, I will not cross that line because there's danger over there. There's things over here that are unlike what the Lord tells me that He wants me to live. So I am going to put some safeguards. I'm going to put some distance between myself and that. I'm not willing to spend my life trying to find out how close I can get to the edge. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm going to live over here. Will the Lord find a people that have the kind of belief and faith in Him that they're willing to do that, that they're willing to actually take up the cross, that they're actually willing to suffer some hardship, willing to give some things up, even if maybe it's lawful? Oh, we don't like to do that. Well, where's the Scripture say I can't do that? All things are lawful, the Bible says. But not everything's expedient. See? There's a lot of reasons why it might not be expedient. The Lord, I can just hear Him saying, when I come back, will I find a people who are still willing to do that? When I come back, will I find a people who are willing to put themselves in the place where they know I'm willing to dwell? Will I find a people who are willing to give me time? Their time. How much time do you give the Lord? We find lots of time to do lots of things. It can get really close here. Where's your phone? Or your computer? Or your hobby? We can spend so much time on those things while the Lord God in heaven is there wondering, will I find a people that have a faith in me that are willing to buy into and believe into what I am and what I'm about and will come and be my disciple and follow me and give me their life and their heart and their energy and their time. When I come back, will I find a people that buys in to me? I don't know if he was just talking about when I come back for you as individuals. When I come back at the end of time, I want to read to you what Paul said in 2 Timothy about some of those last times. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, listen to this and see if it sounds familiar. This know also, 2 Timothy 3 and 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of God? No. Of their own selves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous? I want that. I need that. Oh, I can't get by without that. Covetous. More covetous of things of the world than we are coveting things of the Lord. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. More and more today, children have a lack of respect in general for their parents. They put themselves right up at the same level as parents and school teachers and officials. Children these days, I'm not all children, please understand what I'm saying, but the trend, the pattern, the influence is more and more where it's I'm at the equal plane of everybody else and my way is just as right as your way. The Scripture says this is going to happen in the last times. Children being disobedient to their parents, lack of respect, and then it's lack of respect to your parents, and what's the next step? Lack of respect to God. That's where this goes. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Have you noticed that? Has it always been that way? Those of you that are much older, has it always been that way where there are so many people that are in the world that are don't even try to profess to be saved and yet so openly look for ways to despise and cut down those that are endeavoring to live for God? Has it always been as bad as it is today? It concerns me that people are so ready to do that. It just makes me, are we in the last days? Traitors, heady, high-minded, listen to this one, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. It's talking about days here where the Lord is wondering, when I come back during these days, perhaps, will I find a people that still have faith? A people that live among all of that. See? A people that are influenced all around them by this. Will there still be a people in the middle of all of that that have a faith in the Lord that is unwavering, that is 100%? That is faithful to God no matter what. begins to speak of those that name the name of Christ but have no power. See, a form of godliness. A lot of people have a profession without power, don't they? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know what strikes me about that comment? It didn't say that they didn't love God at all. That isn't what it said, y'all. Sometimes we say, well, no, we love God. It's not talking about me. But that's not what it said. It said lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, how is that defined? How does the Lord decide whether or not you love Him more than you love the pleasures of the world? Well, I'll tell you one way. I'm not God and I can't look into your heart, but I know this. You can start to understand where people's heart is when you look at how they handle and manage their limited resources. Time is a limited resource. That's one of the most limited resources we have, is time. And you can only fit so much into a day. And I wonder if sometimes the Lord looks down to understand where our heart really is, to see, well, how do you spend your time? Where does your money go to? Where what do you think about, okay? Well, when you have time to think, when you're driving down the road, how do you spend your time? We can spend so much time on things that are just so passing, so temporal. They're not going to mean anything in the last day. They're going to mean nothing. And yet we're going to stand before a God who's wondering, will I find faith when I return? Where do you stand tonight? Where do I stand? How does the Lord look at us? And how are we going to be judged? Because it's easy for me to say, I love the Lord. God knows my heart. And feel a false sense of security with that, while maybe I'm loving pleasures more than I'm loving God. It's challenging to me. This is not a message that's meant to be a message of condemnation. But it is a message to stir up our minds, because Jesus went out of His way to give a parable, and now I'm starting to understand why He said men ought always to pray and not faint. Because there are these influences that start distracting me and pulling me and getting me off in the wrong direction, getting my priorities all messed up, if I'm not very careful, and being influenced by this influence that starts to prevail in the last days. And so the Lord said, men ought always to pray and not faint. And now I'm starting to understand why He said, even though I'm willing to do everything for you, even though I'm not an unjust judge, I'm a God who cares. I'm a God who loves. Will I find faith when I return? I think about these things and I think of the Lord's words as well, and I know I preach about this often, refer to it often, probably will my whole life. In the third chapter of Revelation, where Jesus was talking, was He talking to the world and sinners? Is that who He was talking to in Revelations? No. He's talking to the church. He was talking to the church. And He said, first He said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. I think I preached about that here. But He said, I know your works. And I know that you're not hot and you're not cold. And because you're not hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Did you know that for something to stay cold or something to stay hot, there has to be a constant source of external energy supplied? Otherwise, whatever it is you're trying to control the temperature of, it will normalize to the temperature around you. That's why we need a power that's working within us all the time. Otherwise, we are going to normalize to the influences and the spiritual temperature that's around us. And the Lord looked down at the church and He said, "You're not hot and you're not cold." And the people there said, "Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods." He thought that everything was okay. We can get to the place as saints where we have this false sense of security and think everything is okay because we think too much, we reflect too much maybe on past blessings. We reflect on when we got saved 20 years ago. We reflect on the fact that we're numbered here with the saints, that we come through the back doors, that we go to revival meeting. We depend too much on things that are outside of today's experience with God. And we become like the five foolish virgins that one time had oil in their lamps, but it ran out. It drained out because they weren't always praying. They didn't realize that they needed to give it all the time, and not let down. Maybe they had a form of godliness and rested in that. Do you have a form of godliness tonight? You might look just right. You might be dressed just right so nobody in the church will think anything bad about you. Because you look just right. But you could be just as empty inside as you can imagine. The Lord told the Pharisees, He told them, "You know, you're like whited sepulchres on the outside, but inside you're like dead men's bones." Remember He told the Pharisees that? We can be the same way if we're not very careful. We can hang out with the right crowd. We can look just like we're supposed to look. We can stay away from the places we're supposed to stay away from. And we can be void of the Spirit of God in our hearts and minds. We can have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, because we're not living in a way where we're giving the Lord our time and our heart and our energy, and we're relying on these other things. And then pretty soon the world's influences come in, and one day the Lord comes back and He finds us lacking what we need in our hearts and in our souls. So Jesus said in verse 20, no, in verse 18, "I counsel thee then to buy." Buy of the world? No. To buy of Me. God wants us to buy of Him. He wants us to believe into Him. He wants us to buy into what He is and what He's brought, saints. And it's going to take everything. Brother Clifford Wilson used to say often in our congregation, he used to say the only way that we're going to make it to heaven is if we want it worse than anything else in life. He said that often. I'm glad he did, because I remember. If you want to make it to heaven, you're going to have to want it worse than anything else in your life. But every one of us can make it. Don't be discouraged tonight. Don't feel like, well, then it's almost impossible. No, it's not. The good news about... I remember when the Lord just blessed me with this thought, the field with the great treasure, you know, where the man sold everything he had to buy the field of the great treasure. I can see the man walking up to this field that he knew had the great treasure, and there's a for sale sign out front. And he thought, "Oh, I would so love to have that field, but I'm sure it costs way too much because I know how much it's worth. Oh, well, I'll see how much it is." And he pulls the little flyer, you know, out of the front of the for sale sign thing. And the price, everything you have. "Hey, I can afford it. It's worth more than I have, but I can afford it." Every one of us here tonight, we can afford it. We can make it. We can be saved. Every one of us. But it's like what Brother Michael said earlier. It's up to you. It's your decision. You got to decide. The Lord said, "I counsel you, buy of Me." Buy of what I have to give you. Stop buying so much of what the world has. Set that on this to the side and come buy of me. The enemy is right there to say, well, you can't afford that. That isn't something that you can afford. Yes, we can. We can afford it. God's promised us that. How are we living tonight? Do you have a form of godliness or are you just doing time? Are you just in a routine? Are you just here? Do you have life in your spirit? Do you remember when the two men on the road, walking on the road to, Emmaus? The road to Emmaus, and their hearts burned within them. Have you experienced the burning of the Lord in your hearts recently? Do you feel alive or are you just going through the motion? God wants you to feel alive tonight. He wants to be a power that's working in you. He has something for you that's wonderful, that means something. That's water that will spring up and come out of you and the other things will follow. These outward things, they're going to start falling into place because of what you have down in your spirit and down in your soul. What are you buying of tonight? Jesus told His disciples, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood if you're going to follow me. And then many of them turned away and they said, it's too hard of a saying. They could have. They said it's too hard of a saying. And it said they turned and they walked with Him no more. They didn't follow after who He was. But you know what concerns me tonight? I believe there's many people who turn away from the Word of the Lord and say it's too hard of a saying, but they continue to profess Christianity. That's right. They continue to profess, I'm a Christian. Well, I can't go that. That's too hard of a thing. I don't understand. It really can't apply. Lord knows my heart. I mean, I'm just not made up that way. Maybe for some other people, but I'm still a Christian. That's deceptive. The enemy is deceiving us when he gets us in that place. God is looking for a people that He can come back and find faith that we're living this way and believing in this way. The Lord turned around to His other 12 and He said, are you going to turn away too? Lord, where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else can we? Folks, tonight, God is the one that has the words of eternal life. He is the one that has the answer for you. He can supply all of your needs. He can put your feet on a path of success and victory and eternal security. The world can't. It's full of disappointment. It's full of heartache. It's full of dead ends. It's full of empty promises. It's full of glittery lights that have nothing on, no depth, but disappointment. Then the enemy says, well, you just didn't go far enough. You just need a little bit more of it. And then pretty soon you look behind you and your life is passing away and you're empty. You're void of depth and spirituality. And the masses meet the Lord just like that. Brother Tony said one time, most people will meet the Lord just like they are tonight. Most people will meet the Lord just like you are tonight. You know why? Because most of us, most people, are like the man that James spoke of. You sit here tonight, we come and we sit under the sound of the gospel, we're convicted. We recognize, I have a need. And then we go out the back door and we straightway forget what manner of man we are. And the enemy pulls us right back into the influence and then the days start clicking by. And then we face the Lord just like we are tonight. Doesn't have to be that way though. You don't have to face the Lord like that. If there's a tombstone with your name on it, with a young age, perhaps, you can meet the Lord tonight with victory, with faith. You can buy of the Lord and afford it. I want to end tonight in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. This is one of my many favorites. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. That's why we can all afford it. The Lord's paid for it. Our price is that we have to come. That's our price. The Lord's paid for it. He says, come, buy and eat. Buy of milk. Buy the thing that satisfies. Lord, I don't know if I can buy. No, there's no price. The price is that you have to come. The price is that you have to just turn away from what you're living with and investing in now and just come. That's the price. What kind of deal is that? It doesn't get any better than that. Without money, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And then he says, why do you spend money for that which satisfies not? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Isn't that wonderful? It's for all of us. All of us can be saved. All of us can find peace with the Lord. This is the God that we serve. And yet, the question of the Lord rings solemnly in the halls of this time world. Nevertheless, will I find faith when I come back? Will He? Will He find faith in you? He went on to say in the sixth verse, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy, thank the Lord, upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Isn't that wonderful? This evening, if you're not comfortable about your faith, and you're not satisfied that you're believing into the Lord like He would have you to, He bids us to come and open the door that He's knocking on. Question is, will you open it? Or will you delay and defer action like the masses do? Or will we be so consumed with our own thoughts, our own ideas, what we want truth to be, that we let this opportunity go by us? You know, it's a solemn thought to me that the God that is going to be my judge thinks higher thoughts than I think, understands at a whole higher level than what I understand, and He sees the thoughts and intents of my heart. And it doesn't matter what I say and what I convince myself or other people, He knows my heart. I want to be sure tonight that I am aligned. I am aligned with where the Lord wants me to be. I want to be humble. I want to approach Him with fear. I want to go to Him with an open heart. Lord, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me into the way everlasting. I want the Lord to be able to save me. I have found faith. You know that verse in the Bible that says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the face of the whole earth, looking for them whose heart is perfect towards Him? When the Lord looks over the world and His eyes are roving, when He comes to my life, I want Him to be able to stop and say, I found faith. Doesn't mean I found somebody that was perfect in their own strength. I found somebody who believes in my way to the point that they're willing to give their life for it. They're willing to get up when they fall down. They're willing to believe in me when all the influences around are crying loudly for another way. I found faith. I want to live that way. He wants you to live that way. May God help every one of us tonight to be able to live so that we can ever say, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." Amen.